Issues, and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about youth ministry. We've all seen it, haven't we? That middle-aged pastor trying his hardest to fit in with those teenagers, with the youth of his congregation. Sometimes they go a little overboard. I'm talking about middle-aged pastors like myself. They'll show up, they'll have their baseball cap on backwards, they'll be wearing a sports jersey and shorts that are too long for them, and maybe some flip-flops. They look like an overgrown teenager. And, of course, the teenagers kind of get it, too. They end up sounding and acting like overgrown teenagers. Is that what it takes to do youth ministry? Every congregation is concerned about its youth. So what is youth ministry? What should it be? We're going to be talking about that tonight on Issues, Etc. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Now, unlike most of what you hear at night, on the weekends, Issues, Etc. is a live talk show. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, the 30th of September. Our call-in number as we talk about youth ministry, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and he's conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. George, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm very well. What is the biggest myth about youth ministry in the church?
Biggest myth? I think the biggest myth in youth ministry is that that youth ministry is some sort of formula. A plus B plus C plus D plus a little Jesus equals youth ministry. Now, the variables, I think you listed some of them. Pastor that acts like a teenager, music, topics which are agreeable to teenagers. Now, if we're not a teenager, then we'll have to guess. And so it'll be, you know, woo-wahing outside of marriage, perhaps rap music, appropriate behavior and dress. We'll figure it out. But all of these things, maybe a guitar in the mix, maybe that's one of the variables, all of these things, that equation is the myth. Youth ministry isn't an equation. It's the Lord delivering the gospel in the ears of teenagers.
So what should it be? What is it, this ministry that the church has to the church's youth? What should it be?
It's Matthew 28. The risen Lord goes to his disciples. He appoints them out, and he sends them with a command to make disciples. All nations, in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations, is youth too. How does he do that ministry? Well, baptizing and teaching, two participles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to hold dear everything I have commanded. Now, the everything there is everything. It's not simply a select amount of topics that I think are applicable to youth. I've hit middle age. Your introduction there kind of scared me.
Not yet, George. You're on your way, though.
Okay, I was a little worried. Sometimes I do turn my cap backwards. Never doing that again. But all that I have commanded is all. It's law. It's gospel. It's everything. Everything that he has mandated. And the ministry that he's doing is baptizing and teaching. Notice in there is missing some of the things we would think that are commonly thought of as youth ministry. Where's pizza? It's not go and make disciples, bring your pizza with you, bring your soda, bring your fun activity, bring your Xbox or Wii. That's not there. But disciples are made by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to hold dear everything I have commanded.
Does what passes for cutting-edge youth ministry in the Christian church commonly, does it underestimate these young people theologically?
Well, I think you get what you put in. When I was younger, my mom always gave us skim milk. She was looking out for us. And when I first tasted whole milk, it was like ice cream. I was like, wow. To this day, it's like whole milk is too thick for me to drink almost. If we put watered down milk into our teenagers, into our youth, we're going to end up with watered-down adults. They simply don't know the faith that they were baptized in, the word that is able to save them. They have no idea about it. It underestimate, yes. I think a lot of times we project our own insecurities upon the kids. We're a little embarrassed about the way we do worship. We're a little hesitant about how whether or not we can remember our scriptures like we used to remember our scriptures. And so we project that on the kids, and we say, well, they want watered-down Christianity. We'll hit them with topics that we know they're having problems with, like fornication or adultery, you know, or drugs and alcohol, except that doesn't save. What saves is Christ crucified for you, preaching repentance, the Lord says in Luke 24, repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. The law is good. Give kids the law, but give the kids the law in service of the gospel so that you can give them the gospel, so you can forgive their sins. We're underestimating them, yes, and what we end up is with skim milk adults.
Am I hearing you? It sounds as though you're saying that the church's task with respect to its youth is really no different, in essence, than the church's task to adults, to children, to old people, to sinners, period.
Right. I used to say there's no such thing as youth ministry. That's bad for business if you're a youth pastor. But there really isn't. It's the delivery of Jesus and what he did for us into the ears of people who are a little younger and not quite to drinking age yet. So I think that's what youth ministry really is. In fact, the term youth ministry kind of segregates us. It divides us up into sorts of groups rather than bringing us together. But it's best described as Jesus in the ears of kids. I think the teenagers in the world that we live in, I just told you what I thought of what teenagers do. How's about I tell you what my teenagers want instead? My teenagers want to see Jesus. That would that we see Jesus, sir. Not Jesus, not watered down Jesus, not Jesus who is going to fix my problems, not Jesus that is applicable to my life. Jesus crucified for me, because I have sins and concerns. I have problems. I have failures. My failures and problems may be different from yours and mine, but there may be similar. But I have sins that I need forgiveness for. I need stability in this world that I live in. What an unstable world that the teenager lives in. I mean, it's as unstable as their computer screen. The image is on the screen, and then it's gone. There's no stability. The church provides stability by giving them the implanted word, which James says is able to save their souls.
With only a minute before we go to this break, you mentioned a term there, segregate. Is it wise for us to think of youth ministry or any other kind of ministry in that sense in the segregated terms of, well, if you're this old, then you belong in the youth ministry, or if you're this old, you belong in some other kind of ministry? 1 minute, George.
Right. When I first got the call to be a youth pastor, I was terrified because I was scared that I would show up at somebody's bedside and say, I'm sorry, I know you're a senior citizen. You're too old for me to be ministering to you. I only get to minister to people under a certain height. Segregate. The Lord doesn't bring pull apart. He brings together. All nations means all, from the baby that is baptized all the way up to the senior citizen who's falling asleep in his bed.
Folks, I want to hear from you on youth ministry. It's our topic tonight with Pastor George Borghardt, youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address as well as we come to you live this Sunday, September the 30th, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Give us your opinions, your personal experiences with youth ministry. Most of us went through it. If you were like me, you were happy to get out of it. Why is that? Why was I so anxious to graduate from the youth ministry and to join the world of grown-ups. 1-800-730-2727 or issues ETC at KFUO.org. Deal with a few myths about youth ministry on the other side of this break, like kids don't like historic, authentic Christian worship, their teenagers don't trust them, and that it always has to be fun, fun, fun all the time. We're talking about youth ministry, 1-800-730-2727 or issues ETC at KFUO.org. Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
It has done a remarkable job of joining acts of mercy to the center of Christian theology, namely Christ and his saving work for us. There in the past has been a tendency to do one or the other, that is, on the one hand, to proclaim the gospel and neglect the very real human needs, or the opposite extreme has been to tend to human needs but not to bring the saving gospel of Christ to bear. And Pastor Harrison and his staff share with us the conviction that these two go hand in hand.
Find LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are the worship wars all about style, or are they really all about substance? Do Christians have complete freedom in worship? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal titled Five Laws of Christian Freedom, and we'd like to send the next journal to you free. Simply call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Can the Reformation solas be found in the early Church Fathers? The next Issues Etc. journal contains quotes from several Church Fathers on grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. 1-800-737-0172, and in the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio details his own Romans 7 dilemma. The Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss God and suffering. Some people don't believe those two things go together. Well, how do you get Jesus on the cross if you don't have God and suffering? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. How can all-powerful, loving God permit evil in the world? Where is God in disaster and catastrophe? Should we look at the circumstances of our lives to determine whether or not God loves us or hates us? We'll talk about it next week with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of October, just visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out two seminaries that are preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary St. Louis. Just look for their logos at our homepage, issuesetc.org. We're talking about youth ministry. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Does the youth pastor have to be young, George?
Hope not. I'm getting old. I don't think so. What he needs to do is deliver Jesus. Not just Jesus, but Jesus and him crucified into the ears of those he's given to serve. That's what his calling is. So, young, old. I just remembered, I had a friend of mine remind me of call night. I was evidently petrified on after the service. I had forgotten this. The guy in front of me, you know how we never knew where we were going. Well, that's just torture. The guy in front of me, I lean over and say, I guess you're going to Oklahoma. And the president announced, you know, they were sending him to Oklahoma. And then I found I was coming to St. Mark. And when I got back to my seat, I looked at my call documents, and there was youth pastor on it. And evidently my friends tell me that I walked around saying over and over again in astonishment, I'm a youth pastor. Because I didn't know anything about doing youth ministry. I still don't think all it comes down to is delivering Christ into the ears of these young people. Christ crucified. I had a youth pastor come and visit me because of all the activity that was going on at my congregation youth work, and he sat down, and he was not a Lutheran, he was from a Reformed background, and he said, "What are you guys doing here? That this is so much activity here at St. Mark?" And I said, "Well, we give the kids the word, and that's what we do." And he's, no, get real, George. What activities do you have for them?" And I said, well, Sunday morning we have divine service and Holy Communion, and Wednesdays we study the Scriptures. George, I'm serious. What are you doing?" And I said, very slowly, "We are giving Jesus to these young people." And he went away upset. I didn't have another answer, because it's not about being young. It's not about being being talented. I'm not young, and it's questionable whether I have any real talents. It's about Christ. Kids are hungry to receive Christ, and when they do, they light up. They shine as stars, Paul says.
Well, okay, but here is the conventional wisdom, as you well know, George. That is, if he's not young, he at the very least has to be young at heart. He has to be kind of silly. He has to be active. He has to be cool. If the kids don't think he's cool, they're not going to listen to anything he says. So this is where we get those pastors with their baseball caps on backwards and their jerseys and their baggy shorts and their big floppy shoes. We get them because these pastors are convinced, if I'm not cool, they're not going to listen to me.
I tell my pastor, the people that ask me questions about this, I tell the pastor this. When a pastor calls me, because it happens, says, "Okay, I just got here, and they want me to fix the youth group. What do I do?" And I tell them, "You be pastor. You be who you are. You are who the Lord made you to." And the teenagers see through anything which isn't genuine. It's the world that they live in that is so fake and disposable. Everything is disposable. Computers are disposable now. TVs, it's cheaper to fix to throw away your old TV and buy a new one than get it fixed. They live in this disposable world. They can see through someone being someone other than who they are. So if I put on a cap just for the sake of being a youth pastor, well, they're going to see right through it. I wear my LSU baseball cap because they're the number one team in the nation today. Yes, I got it in there. But they see through what is not genuine. And so trying to be someone else is just wrong. Be who the Lord made you and deliver Jesus. And being who you are gets you out of the way. It's not a show. It's about delivering Christ. When we read the gospel in church, when we preach, we're not acting something different than we are. We're delivering the goods. And so as you're delivering the gospel, preaching the gospel to all creation, Mark 16, they get caught up in that, and they get carried along into the faith.
Here's another myth I'd like you to respond to, and that is, if we're going to do ministry with young people, the youth, we've got to keep it simple because they don't want to think. You've got 30 seconds to respond.
Only 30 seconds?
Well, we'll let you start, and then you can finish on the other side.
Well, they don't want to think. I think that is us saying that we really don't want to think. We really don't want to think about our Christianity, so it must be that they don't want to think about it either. And we'll talk about that when I have more time. I want to expound a little bit more on that.
George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about youth ministry. He's youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. and he's conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. Does Christian freedom, and a lot of times that's where this whole youth ministry gets lumped in with Christian freedom. The Bible doesn't say anything about how to do Christian ministry to young people, so anything goes. And so often, sadly, that's exactly what happens. Anything goes. Does Christian freedom mean anything goes? No, it does not. In fact, I've written an article for the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal called Five Laws of Christian Freedom. I'd like to send you this next edition of the journal free. Just give us a call, 1-800-737-0172 during this break. That's our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Ask to receive the Issues Etc. Journal. The next issue is going to be mailed sometime next month, 1-800-737-0172. You can also read an article in that next edition titled Reformation Solas and Early Church Fathers. It's in the forthcoming edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. I remember distinctly my exit from youth group. It happened on a Sunday morning when I told my father that I was fed up with youth group. I was tired of sitting in a circle and sharing my feelings about this and that and the other thing. I was tired of being talked down to. And so at the ripe old age of maybe 15 or 16, I decided that Sunday morning not to go to the youth room, filled with its old kind of smelly couches. I decided to go to the adult Bible class. It was a class that my dad happened to be teaching. I walked down there, sat down at the table, poured myself a cup of coffee. Haven't stopped drinking the stuff since, but heard the Bible being discussed by adults in an intelligent and coherent way. It wasn't opinion. It was the truth. And I never turned back. It's been adult Bible class ever since. Well, we've talked about how we may be underestimating our kids in their theological acumen, talking down to them, watering it down to them, treating them like something other than the young adults they are. If we're really serious about doing youth ministry, and if youth ministry isn't the end, but in fact a step on the way toward doing adult ministry, maybe we had better think about dealing with the truths of the Christian faith in an adult way with these young people. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. David Scare, on two good reasons why a man should consider becoming a pastor.
The first one is, I really think the things of this world are not really worth striving after because it's all going to be taken away. The second thing, which is really the most important thing, is that the preaching of the gospel is its own reward. And there is no other greater satisfaction to know that God has used you in a very significant way. Not that we are all that important, because a few months, a few years after we pass away, we're forgotten. But just to know that you have acted in this way, and many people in the world to come are going to thank those people through whom the gospel was preached.
Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. For more information, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here We Stand, Issues, Etc., and You.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here's Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues, Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Issues, Etc., regular guest, Uwe Simonetto, on German Days at the Sim, October the 12th and the 13th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
For 2 days, we will be looking at the state of faith in Germany, and we'll have 5 presenters from Germany, 2 bishops, very, very top-notch expert on Islam, very fine expert on the workplace as a mission field. We have a wine festival, and we will top it all with this fantastic Bach at the Sim performance.
Join us as we broadcast live from German Days at the Sim, October 12th and 13th at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. There's no charge. Everyone is invited to attend. For more information on German Days, call 314-505-7009 or check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. German Days at the Sim. Folks, here's a new way that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. Just go to our website this week, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod right there at our homepage, and you can print a one-page handout with information on how your congregation can add Issues, Etc. to its mission or advertising budget for this next year. Now, we know that many congregations are preparing their budgets for 2008 right now, so don't wait. IssuesETC.org. Look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and there you're going to find information on this flyer and how to print it out. Do that and give it to your pastor, your elders, your board for evangelism. IssuesETC.org. Thank you in advance. George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about youth ministry. It's Sunday night, September the 30th, and we want to hear your thoughts on youth ministry. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Share your youth group experience with us. 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. I gave you a chance before the break, George, to begin a response to this notion that we need to keep it simple because the youth don't want to have to think about these things. Your further thoughts?
Well, the best example that I can come up with has to be my oldest son. He was Xboxing it up in this summer. I mean, so much that, I mean, I don't even play the Xbox that much. And so I come to him and I say, "Your summer is being wasted, young man, and I'm trying to get him so that he is going to be mad at me, so I want him to get away from the Xbox, so I'm going to give him something hard." So I said, "I need you to memorize the first 2 commandments and the meaning straight out of Luther's Small Catechism. Get on it, pup. I expect to see you, 2 days from now. You can't play your Xbox until you do." This 9-year-old comes back 20 minutes later, Todd, and says back to me the commandment and its meaning, and he's off to play his Xbox again. I was like, "Well, that didn't work." Young men, young teenagers, and even preteens are enormous. They have AP biology. They learn computer science. They learn programming. They learn stuff that I can't even pronounce. And I've studied like 4 languages. They're incredibly intelligent, each one of them. And when they come to church, they want meat. They want to be engaged. They want to hear about the one who saved them. They see through it if it's watered down. They see through it if it's temporary. They see through it if it's genuine. If you're trying to be cool just to be cool, there's nothing less cool than that. What they want, what they need, is Christ. They need to hear that their sins are forgiven. They need to hear that there was one who answered for their failures. They need to hear that there was one who took away even the sin that they did, that unspeakable thing. And they want to hear it every single solitary time they come to church.
Okay, perhaps the biggest symptom of the myths that seem to prevail in youth ministry is the youth service. Some churches just give the youth a Sunday and let them do a service.
Yeah.
And others have revamped their entire modus operandi on Sunday morning to appeal to the young folks, as they say. And the premise seems to be that kids don't like liturgy. Your thoughts, George?
I think that the liturgy gives them the structure that they miss in the world. We talked about the kind of temporary nature of our present day world. And they find in the historic liturgy grounding. And that is so absurd to the world that we live in that sometimes I don't even believe it. But when my youth come back from the Higher Things Conference and they ask me the question, why did they have a processional cross? And I explain to them, well, they have a processional cross to show Jesus's triumphant entry into the congregation, to point our attention to the cross. They grabbed hold of that, and they bought the congregation a processional cross. We need one of those. So they went and bought one for them. And then the hymns that they sing, the stuff that they pick up, they sing loudly. My youth sing the Te Deum louder than my congregation does. I love hymns that the kids have learned with me, that they start to sing loud, and all of a sudden it starts to pick up. It starts on the very back of the congregation where the kids are, where the sinners are, and then it finds its way all the way up to the front, all because it was a hymn that they knew, they learned. Hymn, not song. Hymn. The liturgy gives them a grounding, a history, a connection with the church before. Now, having said that, first they must be explained. It must be explained what's going on. If young people don't see what's going on, they have nothing to. They have no explanation about what's going on. They have no. They have no understanding of what they're witnessing. So that would be the reason why the prevailing thought is, well, you know, they need something new. So we give them something new, that's all they know. It's just like everything else. But if you give them the meat and you explain to them what's going on, the service begins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to remember your baptism. Right to confession and absolution, because we have sins that we need to unburden. The introit, that's that time in which you get the chance to go up to the altar. And from them we sing praise to God with the angels. When that's explained to them, then they know what's going on. They have a grounding, and they understand, and they get it, and no one will rip it away from them. In fact, my teenagers love Holy Week. More church. It's more church, more opportunity to hear the word, more opportunity to sing the historic hymns. They go to a conference, these Higher Things conferences. They spend, they go to three services a day. Historic liturgy being done. Matins, Vespers, evening prayer. Mm-hmm. And they don't miss a single one. At the end of the conference, 4 days, 9 services, 10 services later, they come back. It's like, we're only having church twice this week? What's going on with that? Pastor, can you do some sort of evening prayer or something? I mean, Because they're giving the opportunity to hear the word, to receive the word, to be caught up in the liturgy, they don't want to step off the train. And so the idea that it has to be something youthy is a self-perpetuating problem. We believe it because we're kind of embarrassed. You know, I've ever have someone say, "Well, you know, I want to invite this person to church, pastor, but they're not going to understand the liturgy that we're doing. It's kind of strange. They're going to think we're Roman Catholics." You know, maybe we need to have some sort of seeker service. No. How's about we sit down and talk about what's going on in the liturgy, and then you sit next to your friend and explain to them what's going on. They'll get caught up, too, not in the liturgy or this historicity of it. The word, the implanted word will save them just as it has saved you. And with teenagers, it's spectacular to watch. It's almost unbelievable. As I tell you over the phone about the teenagers in my youth group, I don't believe it. I feel like Thomas. I wouldn't believe it if I didn't see it. But I've seen it, and I've seen it time and time again, and it just simply blows my mind away. And it makes me very excited about giving the gospel to teenagers and not watering it down.
Issuesetc@kfuo.org is our email address. 1-800-730-2727. Is our call-in number. As we go into this break, Marianne is calling from Milwaukee, listening on WRRD. Marianne, well, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you're on the station at this time. I am very pleased to hear about the pastor's youth ministry. An abundance of the meat is much better than an all-vegetarian type of diet so many youth programs are doing now, accompanied by the boombox type of music. My question is, besides the worship services and prayer services, which are all very wonderful, and it was very wonderful that they brought a processional cross, do they also do other acts of kindness in the name of Jesus, other acts of love, fruits, so to speak?
Marianne, thank you very much. It's a great question. We'll save Pastor Borghardt's response for the other side of this break. You know, you think about that message that people have needed from the very beginning. Adam and Eve fell into sin right after the creation of the world. And God didn't say, well, what can I do to interest them in me again? No. He made the promise of a Savior who would come and defeat their enemy, Satan, and save them from the death that they had brought upon themselves by their sin. That's the story of creation, isn't it? It's the subject of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. God made it for you, the story of creation. It's $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order God Made It For You by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The book is called God Made It For You by Pastor Charles Lehman. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes in this hour's conversation with Pastor George Borghardt, we'll get to Marianne's question as she listens in Milwaukee. Question about, well, I think they'd call it service activities. What are the youth doing outside of the service of God's Word? Are they serving their neighbor? And how important is that in youth ministry today? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is a children's book about the biblical account of creation. It's titled, God Made It For You. For more information, you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Or find out more about God Made It For You on our website, issuesetc.org. God Made It For You, the Issues Etc. book of the month for September.
Is Issues Etc. part of your church's mission or advertising budget for next year?
Well, your congregation can now join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include monthly CDs, books, transcripts, and advertising your church on our website, in the Issues Etc. Journal, and possibly on the radio. For more information on how your church can support this worldwide mission outreach and publicize your congregation, look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Folks, whenever you read about a natural or a man-made tragedy, I want you to keep LCMS World Relief in mind. Whether it's the recent earthquakes in Indonesia, the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, the AIDS crisis in Africa, LCMS World Relief is on the front lines providing relief for both body and soul. Now, you can find out about their work at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. George, before the break, Marianne was on the line in Milwaukee. She had a question about service of the neighbor in addition to the services of God's house in youth ministry. Your thoughts?
Well, the gospel produces fruit, singular. When Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, we also often say fruits of the Spirit. It's a singular fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering. So where the gospel is doing its thing, so there is fruit. Where Jesus is forgiving our sins, there is love for those around us. So the teenagers do all sorts of things. They got this thing that in school they got to do. It's called community service. I thought that you had to break the law to get community service, but these youth are assigned community service. So they're more than happy to do community service for the sake of the law. What we do is for the sake of the gospel, you know, Habitat for Humanity, stuff like that. We do. They work at the thrift store. They teach VBS. They usher. The boys usher. You know, but I would hate for us to point to them. See, the gospel does its thing, and we never let our service ever catch a whiff of the gospel catch a whiff of the service that we're doing. And so the fruit which is going on, which is so often what we want to focus on, let's not even see it. Let's talk more about Christ and their receiving Christ, because their vocation is going to be lived out in Christ. They're going to do what he gives them to do in the faith. They're going to be students. They're going to be sons and daughters. They're going to listen to mom and dad. They're going to be in band. They're going to do that service that he has given specifically to them to do. And they're going to do that service in the Lord. And so what we do is feed them, give them Christ, and the Lord does the service.
So it's exactly like good ministry, gospel ministry to adults. In other words, rather than saying, okay, here's the forgiveness of sins, and now here's a list of special projects that we have for you to do that will show that you're really a Christian and will really serve your neighbor, we send them back to their husbands, their wives, their families, their kids, their jobs, and we say, there's your neighbor.
Right.
He needs your good works. That's where God has put you. Go do this, for Christ has freed you from your sins.
So much fruit that it'll catch you by surprise. You think that delivering presents at Christmas time to to folks is good. You know, they think, wow, that's really, and then they, without even any sort of prompting, the boys are sitting in a voters' meeting to participate in the governance of the church. How did that happen? Where'd you figure that out? Or they want to help with VBS. You walk in to teach VBS, and there are all the teenagers there. Not a bit of law. Didn't crack the whip at all. There they are, the Lord doing his thing in their lives, preparing in advance good works for them to walk in. So often, it happens with youth ministry, so often the variables become what we focus on. Pizza, food, entertainment, lock-in. Don't let me get off the hook without describing a lock-in here. It's absurd what happens at St. Mark during lock-ins. All these variables, though, become steal the focus. The kids are doing Habitat for Humanity, so our eyes catch that. No. The cross. The Lord doesn't suffer himself to have his glory deflected at all. Ministry is the word and the sacraments received by his people. And so he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm your God, you're my people. And we say, you're the Lord our God who brought us out of Egypt. You're the Lord, we're your people. Too often, we have to, with youth ministry, and completely with the holy ministry, with all of anything labeled, I don't even know what ministry means anymore, it's just become a word that, when the gospel is being preached, when the Lord is making disciples, we can't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. We can't let our gospel ever know what good works we're doing. And so, like the young man, like the young youth pastor that sat in my study, you know, it's the word that's doing it. It's the word, the word, the word. It's Christ that's doing it. Well, you got a lot of activities. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. It's the word, the word, the word. Because on the last day when we stand before God, we're not going to say, well, I attended voters' assemblies and I didn't miss a service except during hunting season, and then I went on the Wednesday service. No, the word. The implanted word is able to save even the likes of you and me.
All right, you whet my appetite, and you've got about 2 minutes. You said that absurd things occur in a lock-in. I remember lock-ins being largely volleyball, pizza, hanging out with the girls, and trying to stay awake. How is it different when youth ministry is done according to God's word and his sacrament?
Well, we start late because they arrive late. They eat pizza. Pizza's great. I love pizza. But then Bible study. Maybe 1 hour. Then they do evening prayer, liturgical right from our hymnal. And then confession and absolution is offered. Hello, confession and absolution. What's that? Talk about it. You only gave me 2 minutes. After that, we may go back to have Bible study. And so we have a Bible study, service out of the hymnal, chanted. Then we go back to study. Then they have some more fun, because you know, they're here to have fun. Then they want Compline, another service out of the hymnal. And then we have some fun with them again because pastor's too tired to do any work after 1 o'clock in the morning. If you haven't preached at 2 in the morning, you haven't lived. And then and finally, 5 in the morning, they're trying to have matins. Pastor may or may not be able to do it. But that is a scheduled youth. That is a scheduled lock-in at St. Mark Lutheran Church. In fact, that's a scheduled higher things lock-in throughout. Anytime there's a higher things lock-in throughout the Synod, something like that. So, but if I didn't see that, I would say to you, there's no way a kid would like that. Certainly no way a kid would confess their sins. Oh, and I would be wrong.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of our next issues, etc. journal. You can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or just write us, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. What do they need? This is the real question here, not what they want. Although, you know, you give them what they need, and as Christians, giving them Jesus Christ crucified for them, creates in them a desire for Jesus Christ crucified for them. They begin to want, in fact, what they need. But what do they need? Are they any different from four-year-olds? What do four-year-olds need? A Savior. What do 10-year-olds need? A Savior. Skip over that whole youth generation and you're into the young adults, 20-somethings. Surprise, surprise, they still need a Savior. Then you're closer to middle age, 30 and 40 and 50 and 60, and pretty soon you realize, no matter how young or old you are, you're still a sinner in need of Jesus Christ crucified for you. Did you know that that's exactly why Jesus gave us his church, the ministry, we say, that we might continue to receive his death and resurrection for us every day, every week, because we remain sinners in need of Jesus? That's precisely why he left his church to us. If the church is going to do ministry to youth, maybe we should think about what sinners need rather than what teenagers want. And lo and behold, again, surprising to many who consider themselves experts in such things, lo and behold, when sinners receive Jesus Christ crucified for them, when it is preached to them, given to them in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in that absolution that is spoken to a repentant sinner, as they study the scriptures, as they sing their hymns, engage in Christian worship, and even as they continue in their lives of vocation to serve their neighbor in love, suddenly what you find is there isn't really such a thing as youth ministry. There are young sinners and the good old gospel that is for the very young, the middle-aged, the very old. We'll need it until we finally lay down our heads in death and enter into Christ's presence once and for all. But until then, there really is only one ministry that the church has. It's the one that Jesus Christ has for sinners. His death, his resurrection, his perfect life, his sacrifice for us, his forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.